Your ATM is safe. Your banks are safe. There's enough cash in the financial system. And there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. Don't you?
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I have been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love. Don't you?
Has been margin called. Think you was a hook. Trust in your idols, now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks. They'll look the same. But they're cooking the books. Save up a day and I'll send a day. Another new rent just getting away. Bigger the bank. Bigger ripple effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ass, inside the statistics. Put back the curtain, so what do you get? And it's the risk with a bit of neck. Made from your savings. And 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialized lust is why we've been the game. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause it's just a pawn in the cartoon industry.
Nobody talks and pay for the show. Pay for the crowd. Pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. Taught the truth so we repeat a mistake. Sell us a dream that never delivers. While raking in fees and clipping the tickets. Siphoning funds from a mouthless bigot. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingled the risks that nobody knows. How far ever go to a damaged collateral? Another excuse for oppressive control. When government kept you as part of the play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. Then bail us to pawns and complainers.
Your money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex. And fallible humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And our economy's a lot of GX.
What would happen if we take our money out of its systems? Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched? It's simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the cartel interface with a world of free markets.
Give an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step two.
Move a savings in that system so no one can ever touch it.
Step three.
Earn, save, spend, trade. All activities move in this way. We learn our own money. Everything changed. We no longer positive to you.
So we can move value without being censored. Move on from gambling, saving. Move on from all of the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't got the just every word that they say. So freedom and money can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can get to the turn of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door and enter the cave.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Bitcoin Veterans episode 71. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to thank everybody who's joining me during this holiday week. I know a lot of people might be traveling. A lot of people might be getting ready for cooking on Thanksgiving and having family coming to town. So I do appreciate everyone who's taking time out and spending it with me this morning. So today's show, we're going to spend the majority of it just covering basic Bitcoin 101 questions. So you'll have a lot of talking points and just make sure that you're brushed up on your Bitcoin basic knowledge. So this way, when your family inevitably asks about it or you just happen to bring up Bitcoin during Thanksgiving tomorrow, you'll have some strong talking points to go over. So I'm really looking forward to this point. Before we begin, if y'all could do me a quick favor, just go to the very top of this link and go ahead and share this space out. Let's go ahead and get this retweeted. Let's get some more people joining us because this is going to be a great show. If anybody wants to jump up and contribute to today's spaces, just go ahead and request and we'll go ahead and get you on here. So let's go ahead and roll right into it and make sure everyone understands the reason we do this every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. And that is to show the world that what our founding fathers had fought for is not to be taken for granted, and how that saying Bitcoin fixes this is really applicable to this, and how with Bitcoin we don't need government permission to do everything we need to do in our day-to-day lives. We don't need permission. We can transact without a third party, and it just makes us free, sovereign individuals. And that's one of my biggest things with Bitcoin, is the ability to just go and do whatever you want to without permission. And there's a couple things we're going to be talking about today, that with Bitcoin, it gives you the financial freedom, whether that's, you know, getting out of the thumb of the government and be able to transact with whoever you want to, or just financial freedom, being able to get off the fiat hamster wheel and move to an area that's more beneficial for you, allowing your wealth to grow because you're holding on to your Bitcoin and it's just growing at such an increasing rate. It's beating out inflation. So that's why we do this. That's why we talk about this relentlessly. And let's go ahead and dive right into it. So I have Eomar up here on the stage. Just want to say good morning to you, sir. And then I want to give a couple quick shout outs to people in the audience. Punchplate, I see you guys. Good morning. I see Jordan, DA Sales, Chef Sam, Block, Carlos, Christoph, I apologize, BitCat. Good morning. Good morning. And Bob Van Kirk. Bob, you want to jump up here this morning? Go ahead and we'll go ahead and start covering some Bitcoin 101. But how was your evening, Eomar?
Not bad. Just a normal evening there. I'm building out my basement gym. So, spending some of my fiat on some weights and stuff. So, spent way too much time trying to find like good prices for stuff, and hopefully it pays out in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. We did the gym build out during COVID when everything was locked down. So we just happened to get in there at the right time where you're still able to acquire gym equipment at, you know, pre-COVID inflation prices. So we still have that collecting dust in the garage because who wants to work out at their house? That's how we see it.
Yeah. I have like a set, but it's like the 1-inch bars that you gotta like swap everything out. So I just get too lazy to actually swap it out. So I'm generally like, I'll be too light or too heavy. And, so I figured it'd be a good time to, finally go out and buy like an actual dumbbell set. So hopefully, it keeps my motivation high, at least for the next couple months, to continue working out. So they don't collect too much dust.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad you're starting that now. Cause a pet peeve of mine is when everybody wants to start working out and getting in shape, but because we're so close to the holidays, people put it off and they're like, we'll just start on January 1st. And it's, you know, you might get a little extra traction during the 1st of January because everyone kind of has that same momentum. But if you're having that urge to do it right now, why wait? Why put something off for tomorrow when you want to do it today? So that's one of the things I always like to stress with people. It's just, if you want to do it right now, don't wait. Just make it your goal today and just go ahead and start and knock it out. And remember, you don't have to change your lifestyle 100%. You just have to take one step every day and just continue to take an additional step. And if you just continue a 1% increase, you know, by the end of the year and 30 days, you're going to be 30% closer to reaching your goal. So make sure that, again, you start off slow, but start today. There's no point putting off for tomorrow. And same thing with Bitcoin. Again, don't wait to try and time that market. If you want to put some money into it, throw it in right now. Like, who knows when the top's going to be in? Who knows when the bottom's going to be in? But I can guarantee you in 5 years, that number is going to be a lot higher than it is today. So you might as well just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I've said it before, but that book Atomic Habits is great, especially like if you are looking at like the like fitness or really anything. But start off small. If you want to start working out, just be like, hey, don't try to say, oh, I have to go to the gym for like an hour every day. Say, hey, I got to go down to the gym. Like whether you go there and you turn around and leave, whatever. That's how you start building those habits. And to your point, you know, if you start now instead of January 1st, that's an extra, 30 something days that you're building that habit. So, get after it. Same with Bitcoin. I'm sure people were hopefully nobody panics hold when we went down to like, what was it, 92 or something about him down at, and it's starting to go back up. You know, just DCA and forget it is your, is the advice I give to people. Don't try to time markets. I think it was it. What's his name? Benjamin Graham, from the Intelligent Investor. I don't know. Maybe it's from him or if it's just directly from Warren Buffett, but you know, time in market beats timing the market. So, you know, there's people that spend their, it's literally their job to try to time the market. So the odds of you doing better than them, slim to none. But if you are just time in the market, you can win there because you don't have to report your profits to a manager or anything like that. You can just DCA and hold and, you know, time will do the work for you.
And that is one of the hardest things to stress. And we can go ahead and start off our talking points about Bitcoin right there with that is the hardest thing to do, even though it sounds the simplest, is just to buy Bitcoin and hold it in your own hardware wallet and try not to touch it. It is one of the hardest things for people to do. And this recent flush we just had from 99 all the way down to 91 in the price action, I was just reading, it was a large majority of the selling were Bitcoiners who had held Bitcoin for less than 12 months. So again, they just got flushed out. They bought strictly for price. They didn't understand it. They saw the price start going down, or they heard someone say that 100,000 is going to be the top for this cycle, and they panic sold. And now again, they're going to be buying back in when it's over 100 because they don't understand it. So again, make sure that's one of the first things that we try and stress is buy it and hold it and put whatever value is big for you, but it's not big enough that you're going to be tempted to use it, or you're going to be extremely devastated if for some reason that value gets cut in half. But as long as you can hold it for 4 to 5 years, that's the number that I tell everybody to start off with. And Omar, if you want to go ahead and chime in on that, what do you tell people to start off with when they start getting their feet wet?
It's the same advice I give for like any sort of investing that you're doing on your own. It's do what you're comfortable losing to start with. And it takes away, that kind of stress. You know what I mean? If you tell them, you know, and it depends on the buy-in you get from people, right? A lot of times if you tell somebody, you know, do what you're comfortable losing and they buy in maybe, you know, say $500 worth or something, right? And as they're watching it, and if they manage to hold on to that $500, they'll probably get more interested and more involved. And then, you know, you can help guide them to like getting extra money into that. But again, I try to inform people about like the fundamentals of Bitcoin more than like how they should buy it and prices and all that sort of stuff. Cause it's different for each person, right? Like to me, I just harp on, you know, the devaluation of our currency and, you know, how it's going to continue and how we have no way out of this debt other than inflating our way out of it, which will, by its very nature, push the Bitcoin price up. And then foreign nations like the BRICS countries will look for an alternative to the US dollar because they know they're being scammed. And the best thing for them is, Bitcoin because their currencies are worse than the US dollar. So that's kind of the route I go. I try not to, if I do talk about price, I say, just, if you're not that comfortable with it, just do what you're comfortable losing. You know, you spend X amount of dollars on dumb shit every month. Spend it on Bitcoin this month instead and just hold on to it and watch what it does. Get comfortable with it. And if you get more comfortable with it, you know, here's some books. You know, I'll chat with you anything you want. And you know, I think that's the best way to do it. Cause again, you don't want to tell somebody to, oh, like go all in, do everything, do blah, blah, blah. And then the price action goes down and then, they resent you and there's no way to like, you know, they'll be black pilled instead of orange pilled. You know, like a buddy of mine, like got him like off of shitcoins and just into Bitcoin. And, you know, it took a while. It took him getting burned in the shitcoins and stuff. And I would warn him, but you know, I wouldn't, you know, make demands of what he's going to do with his money. Just like, hey, like those shitcoins, like why, you know, he'd say, oh, like so-and-so says like this shitcoin's going to go up to X amount of dollars in September. You know, the question I ask, why? What's happening in September? What's special about September? Where's this price prediction coming from? And, you know, there's always some weird, you know, 5D chess explanation from these YouTubers and stuff. And, you know, I was like, eh, that sounds a lot like a Ponzi scheme. And, you know, turns out, you know, I was right. And it's funny because I owned some shitcoins to try to capture that market stuff. And then like, as I read more, I was like, oh, why am I holding this? And I managed to sell it when it was like worth more, than when I bought it, which was kind of nice. But, I haven't bought a shitcoin since then. And that's what I advise others to do as well. Not buy shitcoins.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the biggest things that you can also start off with when we're talking to family or just anybody who has questions is why Bitcoin is different from everything else. And it's because it's decentralized. There is nobody in control. And let's just say that you had something that someone else created, but they were still going to be able to control it. That was exactly like Bitcoin, except for just that one aspect where they were in control. If there's going to be a point in time where somebody using that alternative currency is going to do something that upsets someone extremely powerful, and that person is going to be able to go through and they're going to give the other creator a tap on the shoulder and says, hey, do you know that guy Coleman? I want you to go ahead and freeze his wallet. I don't want you to allow him to use his coins. I want you to tell me exactly where he's transacting. I want to know this stuff because I don't like what he's doing. And they can give you a list. They can give you court orders. They can do whatever they want. And that's, go ahead.
I just want to chime in. Like that's not like, depending on where you store your Bitcoin, you're susceptible to that as well. I don't know how close you guys follow what's going on in like Gaza and stuff, but Binance has apparently, been coordinating with the Israeli government by providing them with, KYC, the know your customer information from Palestinians that owned Bitcoin on Binance. And you know, it's been effectively like a targeting list for the Israelis to, you know, continue their campaign. So, you know, be mindful of like what exchanges you interact with, which ones you use to onboard, your Bitcoin and, you know, be careful like where you offboard from those exchanges. Like everybody needs an on ramp, right? But like don't just go, you know, if you can have, you know, like a wallet that you go to before you go to like your primary wallet or use a different wallet. You know, if you use something like Sparrow, it gives you different addresses to receive to each time. This way you're not having like all these funds going from an exchange to this one wallet. It just makes it easier to track and see what you're doing there. So if you have it going to a different spot each time, you'll be better off and, you know, just add that layer of resistance. And that's with like, you know, the better asset of Bitcoin. If you're on something like, Ethereum or any of the other like thousands of shitcoins out there, you're just in a much worse spot because like that is a layer on, like the exchanges are a layer on top of Bitcoin that allows that. But if you're in one of these other coins, it could be just built right into the coin itself, not in like a layer of the coin.
Yes. So that's a great point, Eomar. So the exchanges you use are very important and you should only use the exchange just to complete your transition from fiat to Bitcoin. After that, you should definitely, as quick as you can, remove it from that exchange. Because again, at the end of the day, those exchanges still have somebody in charge of them. And so that's the whole point of Bitcoin was peer-to-peer decentralized. And so as long as there's somebody controlling, it doesn't matter if their intentions are trying to be good and pure, they're still the point of failure. So just make sure everyone understands that. And I'm pretty sure everybody listening today understands that point. One of the other things I always hear is how secure is Bitcoin? Can't someone just come in and, you know, and take it? Well, if you have it in your own hardware wallet, with a 24 seed phrase, a 24-word seed phrase, it's near impossible to get into that wallet without actually getting hold of the physical copy of the seed phrase. And the reason for that is because it uses 256 bits of entropy, when you break it down, is really just 2 to the power of 256 or 10 to the power of 77. So that means 10 with 77 zeros behind it. And so to put that in perspective, in the known universe or the observable universe, there's only 10 to the power of 80 atoms that are believed to be in existence. So just three less zeros is the encryption with a 24-word seed phrase. So you could use a billion computers trying to make an attempt, use a billion computers trying to run a billion attempts every second. It would take them over a billion years to try and get into one Bitcoin wallet. So just again, the security behind a 24-word seed phrase is impossible to get into. There is no one that's going to be able to hack into it without getting an actual physical copy of your seed phrase. So again, it's one of the most secure things in the world. And if you have to go in an emergency, you can take everything you have with you with just 24 words in your head. So it's just, again, really, really important that people understand that. For hardware wallets, again, I'm a huge fan of ColdCard. We talked about on the show yesterday how Ledger, with their new upgrade or software upgrade, they're allowing backdoor access to officials if they request it with subpoenas. So again, make sure that the hardware wallets that you're storing on are extremely secure. So I just recommend ColdCard because that's what I'm familiar with. And again, there are tons of videos online, especially with Van Pieren with BTC Sessions. He puts them on YouTube and walks you from start to finish on a simple ColdCard setup to more complicated setups with like BIP85. And so one of the other things I want to start rolling into is if you're trying to set up loved ones with Bitcoin and giving them their own keys, especially if you have children, you might want to look into using something with that 25th word. And so that's a BIP85. And so you get an original 24 seed phrase, but then you add an additional single word to it and you create a whole new wallet with it. And so you could give that single word to your child to memorize, or you can give the 24 words to your child or loved one to memorize, but then you have the additional word on it so that you're still able to get in and see things. So it's still secure. So that's another possibility. And Eomar, if you have any comments on that, I'd like to hear them.
I'm less familiar with the BIP85 stuff. I have seen it as like a way to, add a layer of protection for those that might lose keys or something, right? But I'm not too spun up on it. In terms of the wallet that you're using, for loved ones, that are new to Bitcoin, definitely avoid Ledger. It's kind of the one that I thought was like an easy entry one, but like because of the backdoor risk and just there's a ton of issues that Ledger's had over the years, completely avoided, like Coleman was saying. I've heard some decent things about, Block's offering. That's from, Jack Dorsey's company. I think it's called BitKey. I've heard some decent things about that, but I don't have any firsthand experience, with it. So that might be an easy entry option for, I think in the back channel chats, a couple of people were saying they got that for their, older family members that are less technical. So that might be an option for that group. That's basically all I have on that one.
Yeah. Again, I'm a big fan of that 25th word. It just makes it just that much more secure, and complicated if you're compromised for someone to try and get your wallet. Cause again, it generates a completely new wallet from that seed word. So.
Yeah. So if they just have the seed word, right? It'll just point to like, you can literally put like, you know, a tiny fraction of Bitcoin in that 24 word thing, right? And then like, so if anybody like did the $5 wrench attack on you, they could see that and then take all of that out of there, but they wouldn't be able to get to the actual wallet that's hidden behind that 25th word, right?
Yes, that's exactly how it works. And there's no way to know it. It doesn't show up differently. There is literally no way that they'd find out about that, without you leaving some kind of trail for them to find. Like on your seed phrase, on your punch plate wallet, if you like etched in there your additional word, well, that would be a little suspicious. So don't recommend doing that. But there's really no way for them to figure that out.
Coleman, just a danger with BIP85 is if you put in the wrong passphrase and then send yourself Bitcoin and you don't know what that passphrase was. I've seen a lot of people lose Bitcoin doing that. And so it's just one of those, there's trade-offs with any of these setups, right? So again, if you put in, say, like you mentioned, the 12 words or 24 words, and then you misenter your passphrase and send yourself Bitcoin, you have to know what you misentered. So there's something called, I'm losing it right here. I'm trying to think of what it's actually called. It's like a master, it's like a fingerprint, it's called. And so this fingerprint is something you have to make sure matches every time you log in. Otherwise, you misentered your passphrase.
Are you talking about just entering in that 25th word, Bob? Or are you talking about entering your entire?
I am, because that 25th word, as you correctly stated, is creating a whole different wallet, right? So let's say your passphrase was 123456 and you mistakenly entered in 123456 7. That's a completely different wallet with completely different wallet addresses. And so the issue is, if you misenter it and you don't know, it's a completely different wallet. And so if you go on using that wallet, you would then have to re-enter your mistake in again to recover that Bitcoin. Does that make sense?
Yes. I understand that. And, again, I could see how people would make that mistake. I would just slow down when you're trying to do your transaction and logging in and out. Again, just make sure that you're inputting everything correctly. But you're absolutely right. There is a risk if you don't input it correctly. There was someone who posted in the Nest. I think it was actually AC posted a link. I'll see if I can find it really quick. But somebody gave his daughter a 12C phrase hardware wallet to memorize, and he gave her a million sats to have in her hardware wallet. And just over time, she forgot what that seed phrase was, and he didn't back it up, and she didn't back it up correctly. And so his daughter lost out on all that Bitcoin. So she just donated it to the community.
I saw that. I think in the comments of his post, he did specify that it was his adult daughter. So, you know, people were trying to rip him for, you know, leaving his kid out there, like unprotected or unsecured or whatever, but it wasn't like a child. It was an adult daughter. So, you know, hopefully a painful lesson learned there.
Yeah, it's definitely painful, but again, it's just, you have to make sure that you're taking your time and just make sure you're setting everyone up for success. Take the extra time, you know, take the extra hour or two, however long it's going to take you to stamp that seed phrase in a metal plate. Go to punchplate.com, check them out. Use the code BTCVETS for additional 5% off your order and just stamp that down and get it done right. Don't do anything half measured. When you do stuff half measured, you're setting yourself up for failure. No point, you know, we're talking about working out. There's no point setting up a nice home gym, working out every day, and then you're going home and you're eating donuts for breakfast and you're having cake for dinner. So again, it's never going to set you up for success. So make sure that you're committed to it and just do everything right. And you do it once and you do it correctly, you don't have to worry about doing it again. So, and again, I don't want to make it seem, it's not scary to hold your own keys. It's not scary or difficult to memorize your 24 word seed phrase or to add the additional word onto it. Again, I think we scare a lot of people away with that. And I think it's unnecessary. I think it's very easy to hold your own keys. And I don't like that stigma that's associated with it where it's terrifying. No, it's not terrifying. You should always be holding your own money. You should never let somebody else hold your own money. And that's silly that we've been accustomed to think that that's a normal practice. And so just make sure you just stress it. Yeah, it'll be a little bit difficult. Yes, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. But it's not scary. It's not terrifying. And just get more comfortable with it and it'll be good to go. It's just like driving a car. The first time you get behind the wheel, it might seem intimidating, but as you get older and you do something for thousands of hours, it becomes second nature. So same thing with this.
Yeah. And if you have time, if you're, you know, onboarding somebody with a cold card or something similar like that, just show them how it works, you know, put like a tiny amount on there. And then, you know, reset everything and then show them how you would regain access to it with the seed phrase. You know, it's something that I think anybody should do. You know, don't do it with your full stack if it's your first time doing it, but you know, try it out with a small amount. Just so you get accustomed to it and, it'll make you feel a lot better. When I first switched over to a hardware wallet, you know, I had to go through that process and, like I was very nervous having my Bitcoin on a hardware wallet until I, you know, actually went through like the recovery process. And then once you realize how easy it is, it's very reassuring, once you go through that.
Yes. And it's, just to reiterate that, cause that's pretty important. Don't start off messing around with your hardware wallet when you have your full stack inside of it. Just play around with just a couple of bucks. And just get familiar with it that way, because that would be horrible if you did something that you couldn't get it back. So again, just get used to it, play around with it a little bit, and then just do. And then when you're setting up your family, again, this we hold on to Bitcoin because we know its potential. And another thing I really don't like seeing in the community is where people just put off, you know, living their life. They won't upgrade the tires on their car. They won't buy furniture for their home. They won't buy a house. Like they just refuse to spend it because they're trying to hold on to it when it gets to a number that's going to just set them up for generations. And my pushback on that is, what happens if you die tomorrow? Like what if you're putting off everything for a future that's not going to come? So, and again, I'm not telling you not to save your Bitcoin, and I'm not telling you, you know, to just spend your money, unnecessarily, but at the end of the day, like the memories that you're going to make right now, especially if you have kids, like spend time with them. Don't be scared to like use some of your savings to make a better life right now, because you have no idea what tomorrow brings. And so that's another thing I just want to stress, is just make sure that again, you don't have this whole, like this hoarder mentality where you're just going to hold on to everything and refuse to spend it. Cause that's, again, that's not what Bitcoin is. It's a peer-to-peer digital currency. And so again, it's meant to be spent. If someone accepts Bitcoin, spend Bitcoin, just go right back into your exchange and just buy whatever you just bought. So if someone accepts it, or I'm paying for somebody for something, I go ahead and just send it out of my wallet, give it to them, and I go into the exchange and I just buy a little bit extra right there just to replace and top it back off. Again, I want to get people used to it. And the more that we transact with it, the faster this rate of acceleration and acceptance is going to happen. So again, just make sure that you're not scared to move a little bit of your Bitcoin and spend it. Another easy topic to breach with everybody is just the price of goods. Every year they put out just like the average cost for feeding 10 family members for Thanksgiving. And I always laugh at the numbers that they have because they make no sense. So this year's numbers came out that $58 is all you have to spend to serve 10 family members, turkey, stuffing, gravy, mashed potatoes, and rolls. And, I just look at that. I'm like, I have no idea where they get these numbers from. Like you can barely go to McDonald's and feed your family, $58 for four people.
That must be like the lowest grade sandwich meat turkey that you can buy. And, like just some poured over beef broth or chicken broth for the gravy, and then, What else was it? Mashed potatoes? Yeah, that's definitely like the instant nastiness there. don't eat like that. yeah, it is crazy. Like my wife is not, you know, she's a Bitcoiner by proxy only. She just lets me, have rain on stuff, but she definitely understands more now because of the price of things. She does a lot of the grocery shopping. So she understands a lot more now about, inflation and stuff like that. And like I actually got her listening to, Fiat Food. I've tried to get her to listen to Bitcoin Standard, but she won't do that yet. But I got her listening to Fiat Food, which I think is a good segue into it. Which brings up another thing. Like, you don't always have to jump straight to the Bitcoin Standard. It might be too much maybe for some people. So like Fiat Food is something that pretty much anybody can relate to. Like the food issues, especially like if, you know your audience. If you're talking to, somebody that is, you know, a RFK fan from the elections, you know, you could probably point them to Fiat Food and they'll probably pick up on it just because a lot of that is covered there. And then, you know, if you're talking to a history buff, I always recommend the book, When Money Dies. It just gives you some context and stuff. And then, you know, for the ones that are ready, you can give them the Bitcoin Standard. I think covers everything, really well. But, you know, people like my wife, they don't want to read about Bitcoin, but they'll read about food. Just one of the options out there. I'm pretty sure anybody that prepared the food this year will understand that, $58 is, quite the lie, quite the stretch. I would love to see like what that meal actually looks like for $58 for 10 people. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like if you buy a couple bottles of wine and some drinks for the kids, like I'm already past that budget right there. if you're able to do it, my hat's off to you, but I think cheap food is expensive over the long run with your health. And, we did have Matthew Lysak on the show, the author of Fiat Foods. It was a couple months ago. So if you missed that, definitely go back and give it a listen. It's a great book. If you have some time, it's an easy read. It's going to get you angry. It definitely got me really fired up reading it. Just all the corruption and just, there's no other word than evil. How evil some of these people are that are responsible for deciding what should be put in our, like on the food pyramid, what's being pushed down, in the media is what we should deem as healthy. It's, if you want to get fired up, give that book a read. And it just shows you, just how the whole point of adding grains to our breakfast was to prevent, masturbation with teenagers and adults. It was to tame their cardinal sins. And it is horrible. I just, again, you need to give that book a read. You definitely need to give a listen to the podcast we did with Matthew. Again, it's a really good book.
Yeah. And what I found interesting, I don't remember if he mentioned it, if he cited it in his book or if I just found it, looking for like similar books, but there's this other book called, The Big Fat Lie. I forget who the author is, but if you Google it should show up. But what I found interesting in that book, the author details like the process that like the, research and food industry went through and, how they ostracized anybody that went outside of the lines in terms of like, you know, what you should be eating. And what I found really interesting about it is it's almost identical to what they did during COVID with the researchers or medical professionals that went outside the lines of like what was accepted about COVID. It's exactly what they did in the food industry when they were steering us down this wrong path. So like that I thought was pretty interesting. I think that book, like she didn't, like the author didn't make the direct connection, at least not to where I'm up to, but it was just like so obvious, like when you're reading it and you hear that part or you read that part, it's like, oh, this is exactly what they did during COVID. So it kind of, helps you keep your eyes open for like similar tactics. You know, if they're going through that process, then, you know, you should have should send your spidey senses off like, oh, something's not right there. And just like if you're like a more data minded person, once you hear about like, I think he covers this in Fiat Food as well, but, when you hear about like just the shaky and like shaky data that they use, the selective process that they go through in picking, like, you know, who things are effective for. And it's just so fraudulent. It should get you pretty upset.
Well, with the COVID, EMR, I think you could draw parallels, from Fiat Foods and what they tried with COVID. And again, it was because the only thing that made us like put our foot down and just stop with the COVID nonsense was that we had the, it was the age of the internet, age of information, and anyone could just go ahead and refute and show like evidence that the claims that they're making were completely false or fabricated. Whereas, you know, back in the early 1900s, they didn't have that instant ability to go ahead and spread the message. And all they really had to do was just silence the dozen or so critics, that were speaking out. And so it's, that's why they really don't like, they don't like Twitter, because, or X, is because anybody can go ahead and post things. And if it gets enough engagement, it could start building a case against whatever they're trying to speak out against. And so.
Yeah. 100%. Like if you read through that book, they talk about how like, in the big fat lie, the author was talking to, some scientists, research scientists or whatever. And he was saying like, you know, he spoke out about it once and then they just stopped inviting him to all the conferences and cause the conferences were all sponsored by like big food and stuff. So they just stopped inviting him, saying like, oh, well, sorry, like you can't come anymore. And then there wasn't like a platform for him to be able to like voice his concerns. You know, it would only be on like, smaller like platforms that didn't have as much reach in the medical community and that didn't get picked up by like the New York Times and stuff like that. So, like to your point, like now they, you know, you saw it happening during COVID where, you know, these doctors and professionals would be silenced and then by the main like corporate media and then they'd end up on like Joe Rogan, who has a much larger platform. That wasn't an option, in the 60s and 70s when the food, the changes in our food and stuff were going through. So a different world. I think we're a little bit more, resilient. Like we have a stronger like system for alternative information. It's not perfect. You know, X still will, you know, have its opinions and throttle people or kick people, you know, based on what you say, but it's much, much better than what else is out there. You know, if you compare it to like Facebook or Instagram or any of those things, X is light years ahead. Even for the things that they don't agree with the posters on, it's still better than the alternative. So, definitely in a better spot. And then once you get to like the platforms that, you know, have enough of an audience that they just don't care, like Rogan, yeah, they can basically get away with whatever he wants on Spotify there, which is, it's a good thing for us to have.
Yeah, absolutely. You get to Rogan size and you don't need to have a presidential candidate come on your show dictating their terms. You're like, no, you're going to do my terms. If you don't want to do it, no, you can go try to do something else. So hopefully one day.
Shannon Sharpe's podcast or whatever that was.
You know what? Hopefully one day a Bitcoin veteran space gets to that ability where we can just choose. They want to come in and listen to our terms, but we'll get there one day. I have faith with everybody. But really quick, I just want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Check them out at blacksheepammo.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. Punchplate. Again, stamp that seed phrase on metal plate, punchplate.com, and Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Use the code BTCVETS with an S for 5% off. And if you pay in Bitcoin, there's an additional 10% off. So potential of 15% off your entire order, BTCVETS. So I just want to welcome, Shane up here. Good morning, sir. Bob Van Kirk and AC. And, we have Fountainhead Forum joining us as well. Good morning, everybody.
Morning, guys. I'm hearing a lot of talk about, turkey and Thanksgiving dinner and going out and, I don't know, spending somewhere around 50 something dollars. It sounds crazy to me for, you know, at least a gathering of five or more. That sounds nuts, but I think it's also interesting that within the Bitcoin circles, we haven't normalized having steak for Thanksgiving. I mean this wholeheartedly. I've been doing this with my family. This is a tradition in my family. I hate turkey. I am not a fan of it. I mean, it's got to be, you know, some of the low smoke stuff out of Texas if you're going to eat some turkey. But to that, you know, I'm going to tell you guys, like, we've been eating steak for years for this. And I will tell you, you know, if you don't know how to buy steak or cook steak, go out to your local butcher or, you know, maybe, you know, do some farm direct, you know, with guys like Texas Slim and get it from those guys. But you can get an entire tenderloin, and I'm talking a tenderloin that probably cuts, you know, 2-inch fillets for, I don't know, maybe 9 people. You can get that for $150, depending on where you're at. But down here in Georgia, you can get that for $150. You can throw that thing on any smoker and you know, get a little smoke on it and make it as medium rare as you want. And that thing is going to feed up to 9 people for $150. That's your protein right there. I think this is something that people should be normalizing on a normal basis, is not only knowing, you know, how to cook and what to cook, but knowing where to go get these things at, I would say the cheap. I know it's not cheap to, you know, go out and spend $150, but on 9 people to feed them filet, like you're literally giving them some of the best meat on earth. And, you know, in terms of, you know, fractions of the penny of what you would pay on the market.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I found a local farmer, that I get all my, beef from now, through a farmer's market. So if you have a local farmer's market, go there. And if there's a guy selling eggs or dairy or meat, ask him. That's what I did. I walked up and said, "Hey, like, you have steaks here every now and then. Do you sell, like a half cow or a whole cow?" And he said, "Yeah." And that's who I've gotten my meat from for the past, few years. And it's much cheaper than if I were to buy it at the supermarket, because it's not being shipped somewhere and shipped back and doing all this stuff. And, you know, he told me if I wanted to, I can go there and point to a cow and that's the one that I can get. I don't go through that process. I just get it from him. Like, he brings it to the butcher. I tell him what I want. He brings it to the butcher within a couple of weeks, and then, gets it back to me. And, you know, it's helping out somebody that I can shake hands with and, you know, have a relationship with. And my food is coming from, you know, local and supporting local. And, it's much better quality than what I get at the store. And like I said, it's cheaper. So, you know, it's definitely a route you can explore. And if you don't have enough space or enough money to buy like a half cow, you can ask, cause a lot of times they'll bring it to the butcher and there might be a little bit left over, or they might, you know, want to parcel some of it out and sell it individually. So you can ask those guys at the farmer's markets and stuff, like what they have available and what you can get from them, or if they take orders and all that sort of stuff.
Or just split the order with some friends in the neighborhood. Again, if you don't have room, it's cheaper to buy the half cow versus the quarter cow. So just go in a half cow with a couple friends and then just split everything up. And a lot of times if you get it from these local farmers, they're going to have their own local butchers, usually in-house. Tell them that you want mostly steaks. They'll cut everything into steak for you. And so it just makes it really easy. We use K&C cattle, Cole out there. I really, really like his beef. It's amazing. It's been years since we bought any type of meat from the grocery store, and Shane's on it. Like, turkey is just, for those of you who like it, my hat's off to you. It's so dry. It's so gross. I'm all about that red meat. I was up at 3 o'clock.
You guys got to learn how to cook a turkey, man. You guys are hurting my feelings. You're hurting my soul here. you got to learn how to cook a turkey, right? Cause if you cook it right, it's good.
I need to get you out to my neck of the woods, Eomar, and I'll show you how we do stuff down here. And, I was up at 3 o'clock smoking 2 briskets today. I'm doing some for my staff. We've got a company party for Thanksgiving. And so again, turkey is a no-go for us. We're all about the alternatives.
Let's go. I think this is going to be the signal. When Bitcoin's win is the Thanksgiving steak scale, you know, when America has adopted steak for Thanksgiving, we're going to know that Bitcoin is fucking won. I have no doubt. And that's the thing, is you can take the best. I've had great turkey. Don't get me wrong, Eomar. Like, I don't disagree that some turkey is really good, but a middle of the road steak is going to beat the best turkey every day of the week. And that's just bottom of the line. The other thing is, you know, when you guys are going to the stores and you guys are buying, you know, cuts of meat from stores, you're paying a premium for, you know, meat that's got less quality and it's probably been shipped in from some other, you know, place on earth, and it's got God knows what in it. And so just take that, you know, to heart. If you can go to that local butcher or support, you know, a local farmer or something like that at a farmer's market, you're going to get much, much better quality meat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you're buying from a store, you're also paying, you know, the butcher, You're paying the guy driving it from to and from. You're paying for the store rent. You got all that is cooked into the price, and that's why you pay so much more than if you buy it directly from the farmer or from the butcher. You know, the earlier, same thing with anything. The higher up, the more middlemen you cut out, the less you'll have to pay for it.
And we were talking about goals and doing new things. Here's a challenge to everybody out there. Go out and learn how to hunt. And I'm not saying that you have to be an avid hunter. You need to kill everything yourself. But getting back out there and getting with nature, there is nothing more rewarding than feeding your family. Or, you know, if you harvest a big enough animal, inviting your neighborhood over and just cooking for them. It is fine. I absolutely enjoy doing that. I'm fortunate enough where I'm able to do a lot of fishing. And that's because this is the first time a lot of these people have like wild meat or wild caught fish. I really enjoy going up to Alaska and doing salmon fishing and just bringing fish. Like a couple years ago, we did it and we brought 300 pounds of fillets. And every other week we were cooking out for friends and family. And it was just, it's a community building. You build a better friendship and bonds. But just again, it's something that's really, really fun. So I challenge you all to go out there and try fishing and try hunting. And if you need help or direction, reach out to me. I absolutely love to go out and do this stuff and I'd be happy to point you in the right direction or get you going. So definitely recommend doing that.
Did you do like an organized trip out to Alaska for fishing? Like you hired a local or like a local guide or anything, or did you just go out on your own and find a spot to fish?
Oh, by myself. I am all about last minute trips hunting and I'm all about doing it myself. And again, if I can see any sign of civilization, I didn't do the trip right. Like I want to get as far away from everything and try and be as like ancestral as possible. There's a group of us talking about going up to, Alaska next year and doing a little hunting trip. And so I'm so pumped for this. I know a lot of the guys are too. But just making sure that we're getting up far enough away where they're like, we're on our own. We're going to be with nature and then just harvesting these animals and then bringing them back. It's going to be fun. So no, I don't. Sometimes I'll do chartered fishing, out here in the Gulf. But a lot of times I like to just try and do it myself. It's more rewarding that way and it saves you money. A lot of those guys charge a pretty good price to go out with them.
Well, when you want to come up here, Coleman, if you want to come up here any time of year for, in the Juneau area, go halibut or salmon fishing, just let me know. We do a ton of halibut fishing out of Juneau and we get, you know, when the silvers start running in mid-August, early September, we're out slaying them.
Well, I'm definitely going to take you up on that, Wade, because I've got a week off in Juneau at the very least to go up to Bighorn, Alaska. So I know you're going to be busy that week. So if we can get something done on the back end, I'm all about that. Or just make a separate trip for it. Because again, I love doing that stuff and it's fun.
How do you guys know you're not trespassing? I guess that's the one thing you need to be aware of.
So when you're hunting, oh, go ahead, Shane.
Oh, I was just going to say there's a great app out there. It's called Onyx Hunt. And if you've got a subscription to it, it's going to tell you who owns every piece of land. You can actually contact them. I mean, if you're a hunter, you should have this anyway. It's just one of those things. I mean, a lot of guys are either hunting private land or they're hunting public land that butts up to private land. And, you know, if a deer runs into or any other game for that matter, you know, you make a shot and it, you know, runs onto somebody's property. It's always good to, you know, go clear it with those people. And, you know, knowing who they are and all that kind of stuff, or at least who owns the land is the way to go. So yeah, Onyx Hunt, you know, short answer is a great resource.
Yeah. And a lot of times what I've found is if you reach out to them directly, just tell them what you're doing and just ask, like 9 to 10, they're going to go ahead and give you permission. The only time I've had resistance is when the landowner had like kids or family hunting on it at that same time, which is understandable. I wouldn't want to hunting pressure and just for safety, but the majority of the time it's, yeah, not a problem. They're happy to let you go. I need to get us back on track though, because I can definitely spend the remainder of the show just talking about hunting and fishing. So I want to cover some big news that came out. For those who don't know, we have Dennis Porter joining us on Monday. Again, I give him a hard time being a little over the top, over centric on some of his announcements. But I am really looking forward to this show just because it seems like every couple of days there's a new state that's coming out saying that they want to acquire a strategic Bitcoin reserve, and another country coming out. So last night, some news broke that Brazil is proposing creating a strategic Bitcoin reserve on the heels of the United States. And they're trying to use $18 billion worth to acquire Bitcoin. So at 100,000, just to give it easy numbers, it's 180,000 Bitcoin they're trying to acquire. So again, the nation states, the states are coming in. So again, I think we're hitting a new shift in this cycle and the evolution of people adopting Bitcoin. So, it's definitely fun to bring this step up with family just to kind of give them an idea that in the next couple of months, next year, it might start becoming a lot harder to acquire Bitcoin. And, unfortunately for a lot of people, their opportunity, starting out right now to acquire a whole Bitcoin is going to be a tough task to do. So if they have it, start off slow, be consistent, but, it looks like there's going to be a lot of people coming in. So if anybody on the panel up here wants to go ahead and talk about it, feel free to talk about this news.
It's funny. And when you look at Brazil, it was talked about as an emerging economy, I think probably back in, the early 2000s, maybe 2007, 2008, as things were moving along. It's obviously a big part of BRICS as well. Having a country of that magnitude, with that population, starting to push around the idea that, I mean, we're just getting into game theory now. This is that place where I think we were all excited to, get on the cusp of. And now that you've got, countries and sovereign wealth funds and larger ETFs and everything else that are now going into, the Bitcoin acquisition arms race. If you're not excited right now, even when price dips and everything else, if you're not excited now, you're in the wrong game. Like this is one of the most exciting times to be alive, or maybe you just don't understand Bitcoin well enough. I think we come across that a lot when we're orange pilling people is we start down this road of, trying to, nerd out and tell everybody, what it is in terms of money. But really the bigger picture is that this is the revolution for human beings. Like this is it. Like we're going for broke. They're going for broke. And right now Bitcoin is finally picking up some momentum. Like it feels like it's finally on the other side of the hill just a little bit. And when that boulder gets rolling, it's going to absolutely be, it's going to be biblical. I'm super excited.
I am. And I think that, like you said, you're going to start seeing that boulder real quick. Once the administration takes office and we start getting some real shape on what's going to happen with this strategic reserve. And if they're serious, again, we don't know. They're talking about it. And so again, nothing is final until it's final. So until it actually gets approved in this, moving on it, assume that it's not going to, but just kind of the momentum that's growing and then all these other countries, like you're right, like it's once that shoe drops and they sign everything, it's going to be quick. And I don't think, again, I think we're prepared, but we're not prepared for what's going to happen with that. Go ahead.
I just want to throw out real quick. I think this morning Bitcoin was at like 92 something, right? It's at like nine, it's almost 96 right now. So, don't be distracted by like the random price movements. There's so many variables that go into that. And the other thing I just wanted to mention real quick, cause we talked about how it might be harder to enter Bitcoin. It might be harder to get to owning a full coin, but it's never like hard to actually start getting into Bitcoin. You can buy like a tiny fraction. If you own, 1% of a Bitcoin, that's probably, if, You currently own less than 1% of the world, wealth. You know what I mean? So, you'll be, better set up for like the next money than you are right now with the current money. So don't be discouraged if your ability to buy Bitcoin is not like where ours is or where other people's is or, whatever you're at, that's what you're at. Spend what you can to, what you're comfortable with. And you'll have more of that than you do of the current monetary system. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yes, and I do want to apologize if it came off. Like I said, it's going to be harder to get into Bitcoin. It's hard to acquire one Bitcoin. Go ahead, Wade.
There's an incredible video that Preston Fish just put out on markets. I suggest that everybody take time to watch it because the guy kind of goes over, not kind of, he very well goes over the what happened last year with the ETFs and the OTC trading. Very knowledgeable in markets and how they work. Yeah, I think he was an Australian guy, but it just came out in the last 24 hours. So yeah, take time to listen to that. He also goes into like Bitcoin lending, you know, everybody's sell price, talks about, you know, how do you know at what point people sell off and why they sell off? So it gives you a better understanding of the market.
Yeah, so that was on his podcast, the Investor Podcast, and he had Checkmate on. I like following Checkmate. He's pretty sound. He's pretty clear-headed. So I just threw that link up in the nest if anybody wants to go ahead and click on it. But I also threw up in the nest, and I see that he's listening right now. Craig LeBlanc threw a really good post out this morning, and so it's out there. Go ahead and give that a listen or give it a read. There's really good talking points to go over with family members, and so you go ahead and kind of copy it to your phone, and you'll have some good talking points if they're asking about Bitcoin over this week. We are at the top of the hour, and I have a lot to do today, so I'm not going to be able to stay too much over. So I'm going to pass it over to the panel. Do you guys have anything you'd like to say, any final comments or concerns, anything you want to get off your chest before we start wrapping this up?
I'd just like to throw out there real quick that people who think they're late, people will be late. And I try to help people understand that. The Michael Saylor and his buy, if you do the math on that, where he did 100,000 Bitcoin is what we thought he was going to do, the projection, but he did 50,000 Bitcoin. 50,000 Bitcoin is 1/400th of all the Bitcoin. And he did that over a weekend. So when nation states start rolling in and people are buying 1/50th of the entire amount of Bitcoin that will ever be created, and that's based off 20 million, but Satoshi has a million, so I don't even like to put that in the formula. So let's just say 20 million. When somebody buys that 50,000 Bitcoin, that's when everybody starts doing that regularly, the price of Bitcoin is going to go up astronomically. Nothing's going to stop it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Wade. And it's only going to take a couple nation states to just kind of buy up, 50,000 Bitcoin, 100,000 Bitcoin. And before you know it, there's going to be a huge supply crunch. So like, it's going to happen quicker than we think.
Yeah, just closing out to this show, just wanted to say thanks to everybody. As we're going into Thanksgiving, I think we formed Bitcoin Veterans in July of 2023, and this has just been one hell of a ride to see everybody show up and put some work into this thing. Kudos to Coleman and everybody else that does this every day. Thanks to, guys like Eomar, Bob, and Wade and the rest of you guys for showing up out here and putting in some time and effort. It's incredible to watch what this group is doing. You guys are literally finding people all over the map and you kind of including our target demographic, which is veterans. Giving veterans a passion and a mission after watching what's happened to them for the past, 20 plus years, my entire adult life where, they come back from overseas and they're so depressed that they take their own lives, whether they've got family or not. This is turning that tide. And I'm over the moon excited for where this is going, to be associated with everybody here. It's an incredible crowd. And this mission is one that I think is righteous. I think in time, it's going to be looked at by our posterity as something really, really special. So, just really thankful for everybody out there. I hope you have a great, visit with friends and family over this break. You get some downtime, some time to, kind of put your brain at rest and be very present with everybody at home. You guys are an incredible people. And I'm absolutely over the moon to be associated with you and excited. We all get to take this break, but, great job, everybody, and I'll see you guys after the break.
So again, thank you for taking the morning out of this busy week for us and your shares. I'm going to take the rest of the week off. So I won't be doing this tomorrow and I won't be doing it Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Monday's show is going to be awesome because we're going to have Dennis Porter joining us. So make sure you tune into that. I'll have it, the link for the show posted here in a couple minutes. So retweet that. Let's get everybody involved. Hopefully we can prize some of the breaking announcements he likes to give, first here on our space. But it'll be a good show. So, and again, thank you guys. Go out there, have fun, spend time with your family. That is very important. Try and detach from the phone, from Twitter, from X, from the price action, and just spend time with family because that's extremely important and it's extremely limited. I have no idea how much time you have. So get out there, crush the day, but don't check. It's like fishing in a pond that's already been drained.